Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the Boating and Waterways Commission August 16th meeting. And I'd like to start by with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'd all stand and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And with that, I'd like to introduce the commissioners. To my left is Commissioner Brian Cooley. He is from Alameda, California. And to his left is Commissioner Frank Peralta from Bonita, California, even though my cheat sheet says something a little different, but nevertheless. And to his left, Sheriff Dave Livingston from Contra Costa County. To my right is Virginia Madueño from the wonderful little town of Riverbank, California. And to her right is Commissioner Doug Metz from Coronado, California. Our staff today is Acting Deputy Director Ramona Fernandez and our legal counsel, Catherine Tobias, who absolutely keeps me in line 24/7, thankfully. And I'd also like to introduce and again thank him for showing us a great spot to have dinner last night, Victor Belayets, and he is the superintendent of North Coast Redwoods. Victor, thank you for coming to our meeting today. With that, I'd move on to the chairman's report. I'll be brief. We've had numerous meetings with various people, probably the most important being the BCDC, and have had discussions with BCDC about how we might be able to work a little closer than we have, directly from staff to staff, typically between us and the Coastal Commission. I think we all have some of the same goals. They're about access, and we're specifically about boating access, which for both of them is an important role. So I look forward to working more closely with both BCDC and the California Coastal Commission. I'd like to introduce, welcome.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pettibone is here from West Sacramento. And with that, I'll move on to commissioner activity reports. Are there any commissioners that would like to?
Well, I did have an extensive 2-hour plus conversation.
I did have an extensive couple hour conversation with those professors at Sacramento State University who are compiling our boater needs assessment. I notice we have on the agenda report of the status of that. They indicated they were moving along nicely and could have had a report, interim report, for today's meeting. But so be it. Talk with Dr. Amy Michael, Dr. David Roloff, and Dr. Stanley Taylor. They had a number of questions, and I took the liberty, being only commissioner there, to answer some of their questions, either right or wrong, I don't know. But my question will be, when our acting deputy makes a report on the status of the boating needs assessment, where is it? Are we going to see a draft before the final? And what the schedule is for review of that very, very important document. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I'd like to thank you for being on that call. I was scheduled to be on that call, but ended up with a conflict. So thank you for stepping in and taking care of that. Any other commissioner updates? Commissioner Madueño.
Good morning. Good morning. So I don't know if it's working, but
the other side.
I think yours is the other side.
The other green button.
Oh, the other.
There we go. Good morning, everybody. Again, a pleasure to be with you. Just a couple of things. The first thing that caught my attention, and I'm hoping we're going to get more information on this. I love this. I absolutely love this activity book. And I'm going to tell you, when we see so many fatalities, especially in the valley, I'd actually like to see how we can be more strategic in getting these booklets into the hands of municipalities, cities, again, that have adjacent river access, where children, especially children of minorities and low income, they don't have opportunities to go and get swim lessons. This, I think, could be a very useful tool to getting into the hands of many in the community. And my question is this offered in other languages, multiple languages, Southeast Asian, Spanish, etc.? So that was one. But I want to commend staff. I just absolutely love this. Second, I actually participated in the National River Rally Conference in South Lake Tahoe in the earlier part of the summer. And to see how many jurisdictions from across the country are coming together again to better enhance river access points, water access points, especially for, again, all communities, I'd really like to just commend what we do, what staff does. I think that this division of boating and waterways doesn't get, I think it's due accolades. And so I just want to publicly thank all the staff for all of your dedicated work and service to the people of California. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just following up on those, I think, very appropriate comments of Commissioner Madueño, I wonder, since we were just so enlightened and delightfully appreciative of the work of the Aquatic Center here in Eureka, I'm wondering how many aquatic centers that serve a significant number of minority and underserved populations have this, and how are they using it for outreach? For example, in South Bay, in San Diego County, I mean, this should be in the hands of almost every student, because every student has access within a trolley ride or a bus ride of a bay and an ocean, and the state parks has that magnificent Silver Strand beach along the ocean, which is connected by a 300-foot underground passageway to the aquatic center, which is on the peaceful, quiet, water-teachable bayside.
Thank you. And following up on what Commissioner Madueño said, one of the things we learned in our tour yesterday that I thought was very helpful was the attention that is given by the staff there to the fact that here in Eureka there is so much running water and it's so much a part of the life here that they have tremendous outreach for that exact same thing. I think that was a very good point. Commissioner Pettibone.
Yes, I've had, I just wanted to update folks, I've had conversations with the boating community and obviously the sailing community in the Delta region, and I will say, and I hopefully on the legislative report we'll hear more, but there still remains huge concerns about, and we saw this when we were down in the Delta, huge concerns on the sunken vessels that are polluting the waterways, that are hazards to boating. There's both the submerged vessels and the ones we can't see. People are hitting them. It remains a huge problem, and folks actually out in the community are talking about Assemblymember Frazier's bill that has and is attempting to get some money towards removing commercial vessels, but I will say that still remains a huge issue that hopefully we can continue to work on and encourage local communities to take advantage of the grants that are offered through here. So
Thank you. Any other commissioner updates?
Just to piggyback on your comments, in the Bay Area, there's lots of abandoned vessels, and marinas are ending up with abandoned vessels just being tied up, and people walk away. So it's a huge issue there. And then there's a whole number of just vessels that are anchored in places they're not supposed to be. So that and the other issues in my area, of course, are bottom paint. That's been a big concern with the change in the law and stuff. So anyway, that's what's going on kind of in the Bay Area.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooley. At this point, I'd like to invite Victor Bailates up to talk to us a little bit. Victor, if you would.
I've met most of the commissioners. Victor Bailates, District Superintendent for North Coast Redwoods, California State Parks. We have approximately 22 parks in this region from Oregon border down to Leggett. And as a chairman, also welcome commissioners and chairman for coming up this way and making the trek. Appreciate it. Chairman had mentioned that there are lots of waterways, and one of our colleagues had mentioned it yesterday. You can't go more than a mile without hitting a stream, a lake, a lagoon, ocean, or something up in this area. And that's absolutely true. The district spans an area of, approximately 200 miles from Oregon border down. We've got riparian environments, we have lagoons, we have lakes, and we have oceans. The district has directly benefited from Bodian Waterways' generosity through my colleagues and partners out there in city government and county government and programs that they're doing that support our programming. I know specifically we had severe weather events in 2016, and we were able to take life jackets from a program out of Sacramento and give them to folks that were recreating on Eel River and other spots. For the commission to come up here and improve access and look at improving access and supporting cities and the riparian and all of that oceanic environment is terrific. Specifically, North Coast Redwoods is staying up an aquatic program. We have a lifeguard coming this way. We have seasonal lifeguards on staff. We're doing junior ranger program or junior lifeguard programs and looking for aquatic safety as one of those key points that we emphasize for visitors. So the commission coming up here, looking around, going out and doing a tour of facilities that we have, potential facilities for local government is terrific. And I just thank you guys for your dedication and thank you for making the trip and being on the ground and actually looking at where these facilities are. Any questions for me?
Well, I just have a comment that I watched, and I thank you for participating in our tour yesterday, and I watched your interaction with the people at Humboldt Aquatic Center and the discussions about how you can interact. I think those were very insightful comments, and I think that seeing you take advantage of those people's resources is a very positive thing, and I thank you for that.
Thank you. I'd like to add just one thing with regard to the Aquatic Center. We recently helped sponsor Uruk Jump Dance over on Stone Lagoon. One of the challenges that I had was getting people transported over water. We were able to go to the Aquatic Center, get a vessel, and transport elders and other tribal members to a significant ceremony for Uruk. That wasn't possible. I couldn't get a boat anywhere from Shasta to Clear Lake or anywhere else, and that was the Aquatic Center was able to support me in that. And that was a lead that came from Bodian Waterways, so thank you for that, Ramona.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. With that, we move on to the Deputy Director's report.
So good morning, everyone. And before I provide my update, I do want to first acknowledge the dedication to all of our first responders, volunteers, and all the personnel that have been working on California's wildlife wildfires. You know, the department definitely recognizes the seriousness of these events. And, you know, as a statewide agency, our state park system is always impacted by these types of events, in addition to our staff. So, also, I just want to acknowledge that one of our DBW employees actually provided deckhand services on patrol boats transferring firefighters to their command areas in the car fire. So we definitely are part of what's going on. So over the last 3 months, the division, since our last time we met, the division continues to perform its programs, analyzes results, and considered future improvements for our programs. You know, while you'll be hearing some excellent updates from our facilities and our safety and education staff later in the meeting, I will provide updates on other programs as well as department actions. Is there a video? Next slide. So the 2018 treatment season began in March 12th, and we continue to provide treatment in the Delta. For our floating aquatic vegetation, to date, you've seen that we've treated 700 acres. DBW has been noticing, though, a high growth of the water primrose, replacing the water hyacinth as the dominant floating aquatic invasive plant in 2018. And we believe this is because we've done such a great job in controlling hyacinth that now the water primrose has kind of taken the void in the ecology for an opportunity to grow over the hyacinth and cause problems. The positive on that is that the aquatic plant management is that the primrose doesn't break off and float around like the hyacinth does. Per authorizations, DBW can treat up to 5,000 acres of the submersed aquatic vegetation. And as you can see on the stats up there, to date of the level of the areas that we've treated, as last reported in the commission, two of our submersed sites, the Decker Island and the Little Hastings Track, will be continued support in the Delta Smelt Resiliency Strategy, California Natural Resource Agency initiative. In terms of the biological control, the weevil and plant hoppers, which you were all part of on our May tour, will continue through August 2018. And there's currently no mechanical harvesting operations going on at this time. In terms of partnerships, DBW continues to work with Fresno and Merced, and they are to effectively control the floating vegetation in the Merced and San Joaquin Rivers in the Salt Slough. We continue to work with the Department of Water Resources to assist with the restoration goals and objectives that are in part aimed to control the aquatic invasive plants. Our partnership continues with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to perform various objectives such as access plant growth under the field conditions, to monitor location size and spread of the aquatic plants, and to assess and implement improved control actions for plant growth. Okay, next slide. So in our consumer protection programs, as reported last month, or at the last meeting, Senate Bill 19, DBW acquired the For-Hire Carriers Program from the Public Utilities Commission for regulating insurance compliance for those carriers. There are currently 37 companies in addition to our total of 344 active licensees for our for-hire program. And you'll see our statistics on our broker licensing and salespersons. So we'll go on to our grants. As last reported, we were into the grant cycle for the abandoned Watercraft Abatement Fund and Vessel Turn-In Grant Program, commonly known as our Surrendered and Vessel Exchange Program, SAVE. We program reviewed 28 applications and 20 agencies were awarded grants. And just to kind of talk a little bit, Commissioner Pettibone, regarding the agencies around the Delta, all law enforcement agencies around the Delta are participants of these programs. So,
quick question: of those 28 that 20 were awarded, was it a funding or they weren't ready for the money?
The others didn't meet the criteria for it. And the Boating Safety and Enforcement Grants program reviewed 48 applications and 17 agencies were approved there. And this is primarily because of funding availability. This program is funded through our recreational boating safety federal grant money through the RBS grant. In 2018, over 50 California agencies participated in the nationwide Operation Dry Water. It's a national program of heightened awareness and enforcement during the weekend of June 29th through July 1st. And this year demonstrated the highest participation so far for California. At this time, I would like to acknowledge Sheriff Commissioner Livingston for Contra Costa County's continued support with this outreach, as well as all the other local law enforcement and state agencies that participated in this program and for keeping California waterways safe. So thank you. DBW provided law enforcement with agencies with educational handouts and bumper stickers on boating under the influence. This program is produced by the United States Coast Guard and the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, known as NASBLA. Update on our California Boater Card. The division has issued over 13,000 cards since July 26. Boaters can apply for the card prior to taking a boating safety course. Boater education course providers are reporting that there are record numbers of California participants, so that is good. The blue bar on this graph represents the month when boaters can apply for a card. The gold bar shows the number of cards that we've issued for that month. We believe that the lag time is partially attributed to boaters in the process of either taking the course or receiving their cards. Update on our Clean and Green Vessel Act, Save the Waters You Love, Dump at the Pump. This campaign received an invitation from the Log publication to provide an article in the July 27th Boating and Fishing News publication. Written with the help from our outreach partners, the article addressed the unaddressable avoiding sewage disposal in our waterways and encouraged the use of pump-out facilities. Our second article for the Clean Vessel Act in the Log will be published later this month. One of the other things that happened in this program has the Clean and Green has taken a smaller regional online educational outreach quiz statewide in 2018. This 8-week summer online quiz format goal was to deliver 3,000 online quizzes through messages on social media for just 4 weeks in. And in just 4 weeks in, our targeted social media messaging had resulted in over 10,000 hits. The California voters taking the quiz about the oil spill prevention and sewage pump out. So that was a huge success for us in a short period of time. Our other grant program, our Quagga Zebra and Mussel Prevention Outreach, in a joint effort between Lake Paris State Recreational Area, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Division of Boating and Waterways Operation and Aquatic Invasive Species Unit, the division developed a new online educational quiz to educate boaters on how to clean, drain, and dry their boats. Known as the California Quagga Zebra and Mussel Prevention Quiz, this 9-week pilot project will provide valuable information about how to effectively and efficiently reach boaters throughout the state. A pilot project report will be available at the next commission meeting on the results of this. This joint partnership approach truly demonstrates excellent matrix management, which benefits many programs within our department. We're excited to find more ways that we can expand our expertise and program utilizing matrix management process throughout the department. Next, this is I'm going to provide an update on the department's reorganization. So last month, our director announced that California Human Resource Department, known as CalHR, had approved the new structure for our organization and the appropriate unions had been notified. What this means is that the Division of Boating and Waterways will soon be able to transition program staff identified in the reorganizational plan into new comprehensive units, which will expand on the Division of Boating and Waterways programs and increase expertise in other areas within the department. The timing of these moves may vary from program to program. I'll be working closely in coordinating with other divisions and units that will be gaining DBW programs and staff. Upon approval and coordination with other divisions, we will begin the transition process and changes will be implemented on a rolling basis. Details on the timing and other logistics are not known at this time, but I'll be keeping you updated. So we as the division are excited that our expertise and knowledge will be expanded to other units within the department. This approach will ensure that these important programs are not underutilized by being in only one division, but instead promoted by the department as a whole, and thereby enhancing services provided by the Department of Parks and Recreation to California's recreational boating community. DBW will continue to provide statewide programming opportunities to the state of California and will continue to be the one-stop shop for our boating constituents. As I mentioned, I will continue to keep you updated as we move through this process. And the director will be speaking more about this at the September all commission meeting. Okay. So this completes my report, but I'll go on and give you a report, the legislative report. Okay.
Ms. Chairman.
Commissioner Metz.
Commissioner Madueño has for many years been a keen observer of the valiant efforts that the division has undertaken to combat the invasive aquatic species in the Delta. We've seen new approaches used, harvesting, new agents in the water, and so forth. I'd just like to get Commissioner Madueño's evaluation of where we have we made some progress and where do we need to go, because this is always on our agenda. It's certainly on the front radar of so many groups in the state, particularly those who try to boat and navigate in the Delta.
Thank you, Commissioner Metz. Well, I can tell you it has improved significantly since, I would want to say, just in the last couple of years. Usually when I would go to Stockton, that was one of the first things that I would get approached on was, again, the hyacinth. So I have seen it. I have seen the drastic reduction in having just been at the marina not too long ago. But now we also were, and I'm sure staff is well aware of the I don't know if it's the algae that is a huge issue right now in the Delta. And I saw that Mayor Tubbs from the city of Stockton was just recently asking, isn't this the state's responsibility? I don't think it's the city's responsibility. So I was wanting to know if there was any kind of update on that end. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'll kind of comment on that as well. So I believe the Department of, what is it, Pesticide Regulations. There is another department that is taking the lead on the algae. And so there is conversations that we are undergoing with that department as well.
Commissioner Livingston.
Just a quick question for the Deputy Director. Under the proposed reorg, do you know or know yet if the grant approval process would be impacted or changed? Would this body still provide input on grants if you know, and then would the approval process be relatively similar to what it is now?
Yes, there will be no change in the grant process.
Thank you.
You're going to go on to the legislative?
I will go on to the legislative.
Thank you.
Oh, really quickly, before we go on to the ledge report, could you get us an update for the next meeting in terms of where we are in particular for that issue?
The algae, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so legislative update. This summary will provide status of the bills that affect the Division of Boating and Waterways. Information contained in this report is accurate as of July 16th, 2018. Assembly Bill 2053, Freshwater and Estuarine Harmful Algae Bloom Program. This bill will require that the State Water Resources Control Board establish the Freshwater and Estuarine Harmful Algae Bloom Program in consultation with the Department of Parks and Recreation and other state agencies to coordinate statewide efforts to protect water quality and public health from algae bloom toxins as defined. The status here is referred, it's in Assembly Appropriations Committee. Oh, but it has failed and not heard in committee, so. Assembly Bill 2175, Aguilar Curry are the authors, the Vessel Remover Watercraft Safety, and this bill will authorize peace officers to remove and restore and store a vessel and its trailer if there is probable cause that the vessel was used in the commission of a crime as defined. The status here is referred to the Senate Appropriations Committees, and there was a hearing August 6, 2018. Assembly Bill 2141, Frazier, the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta Abandoned Vessel Removal Account. It's a removal of abandoned commercial vessels. This bill will require that State Lands Commission, in consultation with other relevant state and local agencies directly involved in the removal of abandoned vessels, to develop a plan by July 1, 2019 for the removal of abandoned commercial vessels as defined. Commercial vessel removals will be funded by the State Lands Commission from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta Abandoned Vessel Removal Account established by this bill. This bill does not have a direct impact on the Division of Boating and Waterways Vessel Removal Program. And the status of this is referred to Senate Appropriations Committee, and it also was heard on August 6, 2018. And there's, for committee action, this is, or commission action, there's no, this is for information purposes only. Okay.
Two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the number of the bill, but there has been a bill the last 2 years to create a 12-month fishing license. Do you know the status of that bill?
I do not, Mr. Chair, but I will find out for you.
Thank you. Since fishing is probably the most important thing that happens from boats, and I know that it has tremendous support amongst the boaters, so I would appreciate that.
Okay.
The second question is related to, as we've had discussions before, the conflict right now between the law and our policy related to where our meetings have to be. Do you have an update on?
I do.
On where we are with that?
So, and that was Harbors and Navigation Code 82.3. And so the department will be submitting a legislative proposal to agency and the governor's office for their review and consideration on this. If it's approved, it will then be introduced in the upcoming legislative session for 2019.
I think I speak for all the commissioners that's a very important issue that we get that resolved. It gives us all the flexibility that we need to serve the public in a better way.
Absolutely.
So I encourage that to move forward as quickly as possible. And Commissioner Pettibone.
Yes. So AB 2175, the bill that you just mentioned, authorizing peace officers to remove a store vessel, that's actually on the assembly concurrence file, so that should be passed probably in the next 2 weeks. So it's actually moved quite a bit. And it also, there was an amendment that actually added the ability to remove the trailer as well as the vessel. And then AB 2441, the Fraser bill on the abandoned commercial vessels, that's up today in appropriations expense file, so there will be an answer today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any questions on communications? And I will continue on with the boating facilities needs assessment. And did we get Professor Mickel on the line? Okay. No. We'll just continue on. So I do have a few slides, and as Commissioner Metz gave a report on his participation with the staff that have been working on the boating facilities needs assessment and where we are. So if you can show those slides now. Nope. Boating facilities needs assessment.
While you're looking for that, let me just make a little housekeeping announcement that any members of the public that wish to speak, we ask that they fill out a speaker card before, and we'll be having public comments upcoming.
Okay. So I don't think we have Professor Amy Mickle on the line.
I just talked. She is not in the office. She thought she was going to be at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I talked to whoever's in the office, and so we could skip okay. that yep. one and move on, and then well, she's in the office, I'll connect.
We'll just keep going. That's okay. Okay. Yeah. So the boating facilities needs assessment. As last report at the last commission, efforts for our boating facility needs assessment was through our contract with California State University, Sacramento. The draft report is scheduled to be completed by the end of summer. So I anticipate mid-September that we'll receive a draft report. So at that time, Chairman or Commissioner Metz, that we'll be able to share a draft report with the commission at our next commission meeting, and you'll at that time be able to provide input. So kind of up-to-date information are on these slides, so I'll just kind of go through the slides. Next slide. And if you want to keep going to the final, yep. And if you want to go to the next slide, please, also kind of demonstrates their how they broke out the state. And then we'll kind of hit the highlights of where they're at now. And if the commissioners or anyone is interested in providing more feedback on the report, the information is on the next slide. The division would like to thank California State University professors for all their hard work and support with this important report. The department has had a strong working relationship with this university, so we're pretty excited as well to see a final document on this important report. Okay, I think I'm up again. So, Mr. Chair, you want me to keep
continuing? One comment is that I'm happy to see Volume 3, that with that they'll have statewide findings and recommendations for future boating needs assessment. I think that would have been very helpful this last time to get us on track, and I think by doing that right from the get-go, while it's fresh in everybody's mind,
right.
I think that's a positive, very positive thing. With that, can we move on to the Commission Triennial
yes,
Report?
Absolutely. So there's one slide for that Triennial Report. So you have the division has completed the first final draft of the triennial program report for your review and comments. With the assistance from our executive office, we are pleased to present this report to the commission. Each of you have been provided a copy, and there is a room copy available for review for the public here today. After we receive the commission's comments, we will finalize the report, and it will move forward to agency, then to the governor's office for final approval. After that, it's been approved by the governor's office, then it will be available on our website and also printed. Anyone have any questions on the report?
Yes.
Are we required to take any action relative to this, Counselor? Thank you. No, we are not required to take it. Commissioner Metz.
Well, I'm curious as to the timing, the deadline for any comments by the Commission. You mentioned that you are inviting, this report is draft. It's preliminary. It's not final. You want our review. When do you want our review? And second, what was the procedure to obtain and process our reviews?
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Metz. Yes, I would 30 days that we would request that you provide input, and those comments can come either yeah, you could send them to me directly.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pettibone.
And is this available for the public online, or did they have to come here to get a paper copy?
This, since it is in draft form and has not been approved through our administration, that we are asking, there is one copy available here at the commission today. It is not available online.
Okay, so you're not seeking public comment then on it?
No.
Okay.
excuse me. This is a commission's report. It's not a division report. So if the commission, for example, wanted public opinion on the report, it could ask for it, I assume. We haven't really discussed it, but I'm just talking about whose report is this. It's not the department's report. It's not the division's report. It's the commission's report according to statute.
Generally, you're correct. It is the commission's report. A number of the commissions have reports that they are supposed to submit to either the legislature or to whatever entity, whether it's the governor's office or whatever. So there's always a can't think of the word I want to describe this, but there's always a tension, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but a balancing, that's the word I want. There's a balancing of the administration looking at it and the commissions looking at it. So what I would suggest we do is go back to the director and ask her, you know, how they would like to do that. As I say, there's just a balancing, and you're right. It is a commission report. However, you know, I think since you're appointed officials, you may want to, before you move ahead and release this out to the public, let's get you some confirmation on what a final aspect of that is. I agree that as this was being presented, I did kind of, you know, wonder how we're going to do the public aspect of that. So, sorry we didn't anticipate that, but we'll get back to you quickly next week with some kind of approach on that. So, Commissioner Pettibone?
Yeah, and if it is such that, you know, we wait to disseminate it to the public when there's a final draft, it would be nice to know, like, how we want the public to then therefore comment. Like, is there going to be something in the website or some
I agree with that, and I'm sure Ramona does too. So, thank you for pointing that out, both of you, and that's something that we should have kind of anticipated, but it's taken us a while to get this out, and so that wasn't quite what we were focused on. So thanks.
Does that conclude your
yes,
report?
Yes, that does conclude the report. My report. Thank you.
Any other comments from commissioners relative to that? I'd like to step back slightly. I was remiss in my report in not covering a couple of one item in particular relative to our ad hoc committees and some of the specifics, as council has pointed out, that we haven't addressed with the committee. What exactly are we going to ask them to do? And so with that, I'd I have asked Commissioner Cooley with the assistance RBOC has offered their assistance, Recreational Boaters of California have offered their assistance to look into, to specifically look into boat launch facilities and hand launch facilities program and come back to the commission with recommendations for how we can speed up the process and how we can improve the applicant's outcome. And Commissioner Cooley has agreed to take on that task. The second task, and I've asked Commissioner Pettibone to take this on relative to Stratcom, and that is to look into the creation, into creating recommendations for the commission's review and actions that would provide greater opportunities and positive user experiences at aquatic centers and bisques. We certainly saw yesterday a great example of a bisque that really functions quite well. I know that here with the commissioners, there's been some concerns with some bisques that don't operate at that level. And so I've asked Commissioner Pettibone to look into recommendations that she could bring back to this commission that we can act on and so on. So those are the housekeeping things that I wanted to move forward with.
Mr. Chair, are those basically ad hoc committees?
That the ones falls under the ad hoc committee that we created, I want to say, in Fort Bragg, which is Stratcom, and the first one under Commissioner Cooley is under the Boaters Committee.
Okay, thank you.
And with that, that brings us up to the DEBA program budget report.
Morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, my name is Lane Massey. I'm the Administrative Chief for the Division. I just want to take a few minutes and kind of update you on some budget highlights for the upcoming 18-19 fiscal year and some of the changes that we had. If you could go to the next slide, please. Okay. So overall, the budget stayed pretty consistent to the prior year. Our state operations or our support appropriation was increased, you can see, by $671,000. That's attributed to salary and retirement contribution increases. Our local assistance budget is reduced this year. And keep in mind, I say reduced. In reality, we got everything that we asked for. Local assistance is project-based, so these are just lower costs for these projects than they were the year prior. Yes, ma'am.
Can I just note this is on tab 5, so you've got just a blow-up of it on there, but it's, there's more detail on tab 5. Thanks.
Thank you. Capital outlay was reduced, $733,000. Again, these are project-based, so these are just reduced costs on projects this year as compared to last year. There are three proposed projects for capital outlay that you can see: Lake Del Valle State Recreation Area, the boat ramp replacement, Mendocino Headland State Park, Big River Boat Launch, and San Luis Reservoir State Recreation Area, the San Luis Creek Ramp Replacement and Parking Improvements. The biggest change in this year's budget is that we received $6.7 million in reimbursement authority to cover two contracts with the Department of Water Resources for aquatic weed treatment. These contracts are part of an aggressive treatment program or control program for Brazilian water weed and also water hyacinth. The California Natural Resources Agency Delta Smelt Resiliency Strategy and DWR's Fish Restoration Program identified aquatic weed control as a major action item with the potential to benefit Delta Smelt and salmonids by improving habitat conditions. So that's the purpose of those contracts. And then additionally, for our local assistance, we received an additional $1 million for the removal of abandoned watercrafts from California's waterways. We also have two projects totaling $1.3 million for the Public Beach Restoration Program. It's the Carpinteria Shoreline Feasibility Study and also the Coyote Point Eastern Promenade Project. Overall, the division's budget is pretty consistent to years prior, and that kind of wraps it up for me. Any questions that you have?
Questions from the commission? I'd like to, on behalf of the commission, hearing no objections, I'd like to ask that the staff provide us, provide the commission with historic numbers on boat launch facilities, grants, and loans, both public marina loans and private marina loans historically for the last 30 years, provide the amounts that we budgeted, and then the amounts that we've actually, the grants that we've actually made during those time periods. Do you understand what I'm asking for?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So you're, just to confirm, you want over the last 30 years, all of our BLFs, the boat launch facility grants, and the loans, public and private, that were budgeted, and also...
And then what we actually made. What we budgeted for, and then actually what we made from those.
Okay.
As well. If I hear no objections from the commission. Thank you. Thank you very much,
right,
Mr. Massey. Appreciate it. With that, we'll I'd like to go ahead and take a five-minute break for those that need it. I'm sorry for making it short, but we are trying to move things along quickly. So if we could be back to and start again at 9:30 or a couple of minutes after 9:30, that would be helpful. So let's take a five-minute break. At that point, we will ask for public comments. Thank you. All right, we're back in session, and the next item on the agenda is public comment, and with that, Humboldt Bay Aquatic Center. Is that David? Is that right? All right. Welcome, sir. And thank you again for an excellent tour of what I think all of us that on the commission that were there believes is a great example of what an aquatic center can be in the state of California.
Great, thank you. And that was part of what I wanted to take the opportunity was certainly to thank the commission and the DBEW staff for making the long trek up to Northwest California. But I also wanted to do a few other things in follow-up to the tour yesterday. Just as introduction, my name is Dave Nakamura. I'm Executive Director for the University Center at Humboldt State University, and the Aquatic Center has been is certainly under the portfolio of the University Center, but it's also been kind of a labor of love for me for over the last 15, 18 years. But I did want to thank the Commission and Boating and Waterways on behalf of Humboldt State University, the Humboldt Bay Aquatic Center and all the hardworking staff there and the boating community in this region, because I think hopefully through the tour you were able to see the importance of the facility and what the programs do there, and see the support that Boating and Waterways has granted us over the years, and see the impact of that for the boating community up here. I hope you were able to, the tour, while it was short, I hope you gained an appreciation of the facility, the area, the programs, and what we're trying to do and striving to do every day as far as educating the boating community. So I just want, again, I just want to take a second to thank the Commission and Boating on Waterways for your past support, and look forward to the future.
Well, again, I think that you know, what you've accomplished is tremendous, and I think your vision of really reaching out to a broad community here in the Humboldt region is just phenomenal. I mean, you're not waiting for them to come to you. You're reaching out to them. Plus, you're providing a great facility, and that facility is impeccably maintained. And I have to compliment you on that as well.
Great. Thank you.
Any comments from commissioners?
No.
All right. Great. Thank you. With that, I'd like to move on to the commissioner's goals and ask the acting deputy director to comment on what the status is of moving forward with what we've tried to set forth as some goals.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in terms of some of the goals, I think we continue to work with our communications unit, as well as program staff here, to identify and to ensure that the communication out to the public gets out timely for these meetings. Some of the other goals that were identified there, as far as program improvements, I think through time, as we transition as a department as a whole, that we will find that our grant programs will be improving significantly in business practices, as well as process improvements. Let's see, I'm trying to think of the other goals and objectives that were on there. Communication, I think, was the big one. I think our grant, our processes, and so we'll continue to improve in those areas, look at ways for best business practices.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that the communications is just vital, and I am hearing from our constituents, the various, whether it be the Marine Recreation Association of Port Captains and Harbor Masters, Yacht Brokers Association, that they appreciate the notices of our meetings and communications with them. So I think we've improved that, and it seems that, excuse me, now that we may have a template going forward with how that works and how our notices go out and how they're worded and so on.
Yeah. So yes, and we'll continue to initially do a save the date, so that our constituents are aware of the date in the future for planning purposes. And then as it gets closer, we'll be sending out reminders and then get the notifications out.
And speaking of, that was a nice segue. Speaking of save the date, I know the commissioners all have the California Department of Parks and Recreation hosting a joint commission meeting with Off-Highway Vehicle, the State Park and Recreation Commission, the State Historical Resources Commission, and the Boating and Waterways Commission. And that will be September 27th and 28th, 27th being the tour and 28th being the meeting. I look forward to that. I know Director Mungat has worked hard to facilitate this, and I think this is a great opportunity for us all to get together as we should. So,
no, I agree.
Yep. For that. With that, can we move on to the division program reports? And the first one is, and you, You read my mind.
I did.
Mr. Ducks?
Yes.
Good morning, Chairman Short, Commissioners, Acting Deputy Director Fernandez, Legal Counsel Tobias. My name is Joe Dukes, Project Manager with the Grants and Loans Unit, and I'm here to present the City of Eureka's request for a $200,000 planning grant for improvements to the Samoa Boat Launching Facility. And here to represent the City is Miles Slattery. He is the Community Services Director, and we are here to seek the Commission's advice and comment on this proposed project. And from here, let's go to the slide. The Samoa Boat Launching Facility is located in Humboldt County along California's River Coast. It is approximately 290 miles northwest of Sacramento. The boat launching facility is located in the north side of Eureka along Humboldt Bay. It is open 24 hours per day, year-round. The facility supports sports fishing, kayaking, paddleboarding, sailing, windsurfing, canoeing, and safety boats for open water swimming. The facility is busiest from May to September during salmon season. The facility features a two-lane boat ramp, 18 vehicle trailer parking, 20 single vehicle parking, a power-guided boarding float, and a restroom. The Commission has had the opportunity to see this facility in person during yesterday's tour. The existing boat ramp is in good condition. It is expected to last another 10 years. The existing pile is dilapidated and the boarding floats are deteriorated. The proposed project is to demolish the existing piles and boarding floats and install new piles with an 8-foot wide by 150-foot long boarding float. And with the growing interest in non-motorized boating...
Mr. Dukes, can I ask a question?
Yes.
The current boarding floats, is that 6 feet wide?
8
feet wide, is that correct?
Do you know, Smile?
They're 6. They're approximately 6 feet wide. There's been damage, but they're 6 feet wide currently, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And with the growing interest in non-motorized boating, the proposed project is to provide a new 8-foot wide by 80-foot long low freeboard boarding float on the west side of the ramp over here. The existing restroom is not ADA compliant and does not meet current building codes. The proposed project is to demolish the restroom and construct a new two-unit flush restroom that is ADA that meets ADA requirements on. Get the mouse working. On the west side of the facility, near the head of the ramp. The existing parking area consists of 18 vehicle trailers, 20 single vehicle, and 2 accessible parking stalls. There is currently ponding on the surface of the parking lot that damages the surface. So the proposed project is to overlay and restripe the parking area. DBW guidelines, can you go back one slide? DBW guidelines suggest 20 to 30 vehicle trailer parking stalls per lane. Since Samoa has a two-lane boat ramp, the city would dedicate an overflow parking area adjacent to the facility to accommodate a minimum of 40 vehicle trailers. And this is the proposed concept plan, which includes replacing the power-guided boarding floats here, installing a new low freeboard boarding float for non-motorized use, replacing the restroom from this side to this side that meets ADA requirements, overlaying and restriping the parking area, and replacing the project credit sign. The table here identifies the estimated cost for these improvements. The proposed project costs are preliminary. It is difficult to establish an accurate estimate of construction costs until plans and designs are fully developed. And we estimate that over 6,600 motorized boaters and 3,000 non-motorized boaters would benefit from the improvements annually, and over 192,000 boaters, motorized and non-motorized, would benefit from the improvements over the 20 years life of this grant. The benefit cost ratio for this project is 2.44. And DBW recommends the condition that the city, at its expense, to complete CEQA by March 1 of 2019 before any funding would be reimbursed. The city shall also designate an unpaved overflow parking area adjacent to the Samoa Boat Launch facility to accommodate a minimum of 40 vehicle trailers. And at this point, we seek the commission's advice and comment on the proposed $200,000 Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund planning grant with conditions to the city of Eureka for improvements to the Samoa Boat Launching Facility as described in the August 16, 2018 feasibility report. And we'll be happy to answer some questions.
Thank you for that. Just a comment, I appreciate the tour yesterday, both for this facility and the next that we'll see, and the real expertise that came from the folks here at Eureka. And so I thank you for that. I think we came away very comfortable with the understanding of what was proposed and why. Any comments from commissioners? Commissioner Metz.
For purposes of discussion, I move that
the microphone.
I move that the commission support the staff recommendations proposed $200,000 Harbor and Watercraft Revolving Fund planning grant to the city of Eureka for the Samoa Boat Launching Facility, etc., with the specified conditions.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Peralta seconds, and comments from Commissioner Pettibone.
Just a question. I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday. It looks like a great facility, and the addition of that extra float for the non-motorized is going to be, I think, really used. So well done on that. Any anticipated problems meeting that deadline on the CEQA for March?
No, there's really, as far as impacts and regulatory permitting and stuff, we don't see that many obstacles. The, you know, pilings that need to be replaced, we've been through that process before. We're well aware of what kind of mitigation it requires. And so from CEQA standpoint, I think we're going to be just fine. A lot of it's just going to be repair and maintenance. The only improvements that are really going to change is a relocated restroom and the new non-motorized launch. So we don't foresee any issues with March 2019.
Any other comments? Hearing none. Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Brian Cooley, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. By Commissioner Brian Cooley. Commissioner David Livingston, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner David Livingston. Commissioner Virginia Madueño, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner Virginia Madueño. Commissioner Doug Metz, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner Doug Metz. Commissioner Frank Peralta, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner Frank Peralta. Vice Chair Pettibone, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner Vice Chair Pettibone. And finally, Chair Short, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye by Commissioner Chair Short, and we have 7 ayes fully passed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dukes.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll move on to the boating infrastructure grant.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lisa Fernandez, project manager with the division. And I manage the boating infrastructure grants and also the Clean Vessel Act grant programs. I'm here today to present to you an update on the boating infrastructure grant, also known as BIG, which I will refer to throughout my presentation. What? That's not mine.
Is this the wrong PowerPoint?
Huh?
Is this the correct PowerPoint?
No, this is not. I should have looked before I started. It's the boating infrastructure grant. Big. Oh, I saw it. This is it. Okay, before I move forward, I want to share the picture with you here, because this is City of Newport's brand new floating dock, which was partially funded through a boating infrastructure grant. This project was just completed in 2017, and the new dock provides shore access to the city and also Lido Marina Village, which has shops, restaurants, and they also provide many community special events. The purpose of BIG is to construct, renovate, or maintain tie-up facilities for recreational boats 26 feet or more in length and staying 15 days or less. BIG is a federally funded program managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and funded by the Sport Fish Restoration Program. DBW is a designated state grant administrator for this program. The BIG program offers two different grant awards. Tier 1, $200,000, is available for projects in California. Tier 2, applicants are ranked nationally and up to $1.5 million may be awarded per California project. Each awarded grant must meet all eligibility requirements and provide the minimum 25% match. As you may recall, on July 2nd this year, a press release announcing this year's BIG cycle was sent out through our communications with Parks and Recreation, also through our social media, and also emailed to harbor masters, port captains, and the Marine Recreation Association. This year's deadline was August 3rd. We received one application, which we are currently reviewing, and we submit eligible applications to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service no later than their deadline of September 10th, and they plan to announce awards in March 2019. BIG eligible activities include tie-up facilities, which are slips, piers, mooring buoys, day-use docks, and gangways. Amenities may include fuel stations, restrooms, showers, utilities, and laundry. Security is lighting, communications, buoys, markers, beacons, and signs. Safe harbor can be floating, fixed breakwaters, wave attenuators, and seawalls. Soft costs may include engineering, permitting, and other preliminary project costs. The grant can also pay for a one-time dredging up to $200,000 to give transient vessels safe channel depths between the tie-up facility or to maintain channels or open water. Shown on the slide here are two recently completed projects that show eligible grant activities. The first one is one of the solar-powered channel markers deployed into Port of San Luis Harbor, and the second was the City of Avalon's new fuel dock. Since 2000, California has been awarded over $17 million for 34 infrastructure projects with 21 public and private entities. California has been awarded 18 Tier 1 and, California has been awarded 16 Tier 1 and 18 Tier 2. Currently, DBW has six active BIG projects. Please take a look at the screen to view the projects, the current projects, and the federal award amounts. I will provide additional information on the first two projects on the next slide. And the last project there is the City of Rio Vista Transient Dock, and this project should be fully completed by August 30th, which is great news because they have a large fall community event, the Rio Vista Bass Derby. So they'll be able to have the dock available for that. California was recently awarded these two new big projects. The first one is the West Sacramento Public Dock Project, which will help fund the much-needed dock that will provide shore access to West Sacramento, the Riverwalk, Rayleigh Field, restaurants, special events, and more. The dock will provide space for up to 6 transient vessels 26 feet or more in length. The second is the City of Avalon, and they will use their grant funding to renovate their aging pump-out and water fill-up facility. This system is over 20 years old and is vital to the boaters. The renovation will help ensure accidental discharge does not happen because of a non-working facility. DBW is thrilled to be a part of these projects, and in the end, they will provide much-needed amenities to the boaters of California. I encourage you to go to our website and see the additional information on the big program. Currently, we are working on updating the big application so it can be added to the online grant application system, in which we plan to have that available to the next grant cycle, which will be next summer of 2019. This will conclude my presentation. Does anybody have any questions on the big program or any of our projects?
Any questions from commissioners? Just a comment. I think what being very familiar with the Avalon, I think what you've done there is terrific.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Boating accidents.
Yes.
Commissioners, we're working on a process of the slides, so just so you know, we are addressing this for the next meeting, but it's been kind of just a little bit glitchy today.
Thank you, Counselor.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name's Johanna Naughton. Today, I will be leading off the Education Boating Safety Report with the Boating Accident Program because accident statistics help to drive our education decision-making within the other programs within our unit. The reporting of boating accidents to the Coast Guard is one of the several activities that DBW must perform in order to receive federal program funding for our boating safety programs. This is promulgated in the Code of Federal Regulations. We also have a vested interest in the collection of boating accidents as we use this information to direct the activities of our safety programs. Boaters are required to report whenever a person dies or disappears, or when there is an injury sustained beyond first aid, or when there is property damage, $500 or over, or there is a complete loss of a vessel. Law enforcement is also required if they receive a grant funding or if they respond to a fatality. Accident data is protected by Section 656 of the Harbors and Navigation Code. Our use of this data is limited to statistical analysis only. Only parties with a proper interest can get specific information from our records. DBW uses accident statistics for boating accident target areas, also known as betas, for the media campaign. It's also used for outreach, the law enforcement, and aquatic centers. Coast Guard and other states are other users of the data. For example, shown here is a photo of a personal watercraft safety video designed to prevent personal watercraft accidents. Here's the 10-year accident injury and fatality totals collected by DBW. As you can see, accident totals fluctuate from year to year. There are several factors that may play a role in this fluctuation, such as gas prices, droughts, and the economy. Annual boating accident statistics can be broken down to show further useful information for future education and outreach planning. Here are some of our statistics. In 2017, we had 488 accidents, 242 injuries, and 53 fatalities. 79% of our drowning victims were not wearing life jackets. 30% of our fatalities involved alcohol. Paddlecraft accounted for, was involved in 36% of our fatalities, and fishing fatalities were 23% of our fatalities. And so far in 2018, this actually has been updated. It says right now it's August 14th or August 16th. We have 19 confirmed fatalities and 3 pending fatalities. Okay. And that will end this portion of my section. Is there any questions or comments?
Seeing.
No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Amy Rigby, and I will be presenting information concerning DBW's Aquatic Center Grants Program. The purpose of the Aquatic Center Grants Program is to provide funding to existing on-the-water boating education programs. The funding is an augmentation and is not meant to fully support a program. The map represents a distribution of the 48 centers that currently receive funding in this program. The blue stars that you see, such as this one here, represent the 5 Aquatic Center programs that received additional grant funding separate from the Aquatic Center grant funding for a building of a boating instruction safety center, commonly referred to as a BISC. The BISC funding that was provided for the building of these centers is from the capital outlay section of DBW, and that funding is separate from the funding provided by the Aquatic Center grant program. So a grantee could apply for an Aquatic Center grant through this program and then separately apply for a BISC-related grant funding from the capital outlay section. I just want to make sure that's clear because I know sometimes it can be confusing how the two programs, you know, operate. The programs that receive funding range from full facilities such as Humboldt State Aquatic Center or Sacramento State University's Aquatic Center on Lake Natoma. Also, could also be something like a completely mobile program like Feather River College has up in Quincy, where everything, all programming takes place off-site. And all of these are successful models. Grantees can apply for different types of funding under this program. They can apply for equipment grants, scholarships, instructor training, National Safe Boating Week, or other types of events if they're not directly related to National Safe Boating Week but still are boating safety related. This program does not fund permanent structures. We can grant items such as storage sheds or like modular docking like jet dock, but nothing permanent like a building. Some examples of how the grantees use scholarship funds. Some of them provide full or partial scholarships to individual students who may come to their program, whose families may not be able to afford tuition. And then some use the scholarship money for school groups that take boating safety courses. Some aquatic centers reach out, for instance, to the entire 5th or 6th grade of a school district, and then all students have access to the programming. A number of them are Title I schools. They can also work directly with groups such as the YMCA, various Boys and Girls Clubs, and then other programs like Girls Incorporated, Outdoor Outreach, the Police Activities League, and many, many others. They can just work directly with them, and they can bring groups of students to their aquatic center. And additionally, a number of programs also offer programs for people with physical or mental disabilities. The centers work with various veterans groups as well as outpatient facilities of hospitals. This slide shows some class variety that's offered. The first slide on the left there is a person learning a capsize recovery drill at the Cal Sailing Club on San Francisco Bay. And the second shows dry land paddling instruction that was taking place prior to students going out on the water at CSU Channel Islands. And the third shows a trailering class at Sacramento State University's Aquatic Center. This slide shows some figures concerning program impact and growth. Generally, this program receives about $1.3 million in funding. In the 17-18 budget year, we received $1.4 million in funding. Because this program funding is based on an allocation from the United States Coast Guard, available funding varies from year to year. Specifically, the funding is from the Federal Sport Fish Restoration and Boating Trust Fund, administered by the Coast Guard. We are required to follow federal and Coast Guard guidelines when granting funding. So a few notes about the impact. In 2017, 65,000 students were served by educational courses. 48 grantees received funding. 34% of those of students reached were thought to be from underserved populations. 20 aquatic centers hosted National Safe Boating Week events, and over 7,000 people participated in those events. There are an additional people, 90,000, contacted at various other events that they either participate in or host themselves, and then they can reach people at booths and various other ways. And then the growth. This just shows the growth since the program started in 1977. It went from serving 6 aquatic centers during that time to 48 currently. So, I wanted to give you a few notes about our evaluation criteria. We have both mandatory and competitive criteria when we're evaluating the grants. Applicants must have nonprofit status, provide access to the public, provide on-the-water education, have trained staff and insurance, and the participants using our funding must wear life jackets, and they must support both DBW and the Coast Guard missions. And a few notes about competitive criteria. It's not limited to this, but this is a few things to give you a sample. We look at things like how do the types of courses taught correlate to boating accidents in the area that the grantee is requesting funding for? Are there safety issues in the area but few programs addressing those needs? How comprehensive are the courses that they offer? After completion of a course, the next time that student goes out boating, what skills and knowledge will they now possess to improve safety, to improve their safety or others' safety around them? Is there overlap with neighboring programs? And if so, how does that work? Is it overlap or are they existing separately and doing different things, even though they might be nearby each other or reaching different populations? And evaluation of program stability and how cost effective are they? That's looked at in a variety of ways, depending on the type of funding that they are asking for. And a few notes on how we monitor the grantees. Some of the ways that we monitor them are to conduct site visits to monitor both programming and to inventory equipment. That equipment stays owned by us. They are using it in a long-term grant. So grantees are required to attend one Aquatic Center Director's meeting each year. Meetings are held twice a year. The next one is coming up in October on the 16th and 17th in San Diego. Meetings... facilitate communication between aquatic centers. The grantees also receive information from DBW staff on things like our boating education materials or legislation maybe that they might be interested in, things like that, so they can get lots of information from us. You asked earlier about the materials, the AquaSmart, and they do indeed get such updates. Jolene King, who's going to speak next, does come and gives them all kinds of updates on the materials from that side of our that part of our unit. And many of them use those materials, and some of the ways they use them are that sometimes they conduct pre-programming in a classroom before students maybe come out, so they can just assess the students where they're at, and they can go through the AquaSmart materials right then and kind of have that done before they get on the water. And then sometimes they just use them right at their aquatic center, if, you know, for them to use. And then also they hand them out at those events we were talking about, either at National Safe Boating Week or at other events that they are participating in or hosting. So, and Jolene is going to say a few more notes about how they're used as well. So other things that we monitor are we approve all the invoices, equipment turnover procedures, and things of that nature. And an annual report is required both by DBW and the Coast Guard wants to get a reporting from all the grantees. And they are required to report such things as their program numbers, the types of programs that they offered, synopsises of their program year that includes successes and challenges, their inventory again, and then we verify also doing an on-site, but they for their most updated one every year. And then suggestions for improving our program, and just pictures and letters of support and anything else that helps us understand how their year was. They also present how their year was at the Aquatic Center meetings that I mentioned earlier. They can talk to each other about if they're having a particular struggle, someone else might have an idea, and vice versa. So that's how that works. Couple of notes on some program improvements. We have more recently been able to provide direct cost for transportation to the grantees, which really helps them. The inability to get participants to funded facilities was outlined as identified as the number one struggle that aquatic centers were having. They had the grant money and the people wanted to come, but they couldn't get there sometimes. A lot of school districts don't have buses anymore, or it might be maybe a group that they're working with doesn't have transportation, and so now they can more adequately bridge that gap. Nonprofits are now required to turn in tax return information with their grant applications. We have improved copyright releases to make sure that we are properly using photos and other materials from the aquatic centers. And we have been using our online grant system, online system for grants and for the annual report. And once they got used to that, there was a little bit of a learning curve, but I think they are appreciating that it can be a time saver now and easier for them. So the upcoming funding opportunities, the current grant cycle for 2018, this fall, will only be open to existing grantees. It is our renewal year. We have our grant cycle. It's a two-year process. So the next open cycle will be the fall of 2019, and we will be accepting applications from any interested parties out in California who are offering boating programs. And this concludes my presentation. I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you all for your interest in the program. And if there's anything we can do to clarify this material, please, I'll be here to answer questions.
Any questions? Commissioner Pettibone.
I might have missed it. So how? Any reason why it's a two-year and you can't open it up every year? Is that a Coast Guard thing?
No, it's not a Coast Guard thing. It was a staffing. The first year is it's very time consuming, and sometimes by the time we got the grantees weren't able to effectively use their money as well because there was a lag time that we've tried to shorten. But you have to go out and visit any new applicants, and it's just a much longer application process. So it was done for those reasons.
Any other questions? Just a comment, As you know, the Aquatic Centers, to me, is one of the most important programs that we do at DBAW. And as we compete for, I think, a shrinking outdoor recreation participants pool, and boating is having been able to participate in so many different outdoor recreations, boating is such a great activity for the whole family, that what you do with the aquatic centers is absolutely vital. And so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jolene King. Welcome to Eureka. And I'm here to present the boating safety course information and also education and outreach information. DBW has provided a basic boating safety course for many years. What you see on the screen is the latest version of that boating safety course. The current version was updated last year and received a 3-year approval from the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators. The next renewal will be due in 2020. The DBW course book is free to the public and is one of 8 courses approved for the California Boater Card. Individuals may order the course book and exam packet online, and it's distributed through our partners such as the Coast Guard Auxiliary, U.S. Power Squadrons, aquatic centers, and state parks that have marine services. This course is also used as entry-level prerequisite for some college boating courses such as Sailing 101 and that kind of thing. This 8-hour home study course is also online now as an electronic book. Users may read the book online and order a hard copy exam packet to complete the course. Course topics cover all types of vessel safety, including state and federal boating law, navigation rules of the road, boat handling, required equipment, navigational aids, accident reporting, accident prevention, and it has case studies for accident prevention techniques. An online exam is in testing right now and may ultimately replace the paper Scantrons. In 2017, use of this course increased over previous years, largely due to the phase-in of the California Boater Card Law. For example, in 2016, just under 2,000 exams were scored. That amount more than doubled in 2017 to 4,200 exams. To pass the exam, students must correctly answer at least 80% of the 60 questions. Currently, 97% of students are passing with an average score of 94%. It is an open book test. Over the of the 4,200 courses completed, 13 were court ordered and over 1,100 were work related. 3/4 of exam takers were men, and about 15% were in the under 20 age group, the first boater card phase-in age group. This year, the course books are in high demand at boat shows and other outreach events. We have a stack of them in the back if you'd like to take some. And you can always order them online, and you can also contact us at the division to send those out. Okay. I don't know what it is. This is about, okay, I can test your memory here. I used to be a teacher.
Oh, good, a test.
Yes, a test. Okay, how many of you in your movements around the state this year have seen billboards featuring a white heart and a life jacket and save the ones you love? Okay, good. That's what the picture is. Okay. Since 1999, DBW has developed annual boating safety awareness multimedia campaigns and recently added environmental awareness messaging. These boards have been part of the current three-year campaign that began in 2016. Because we are midway through the 2018 campaign, my report today will highlight our campaign results from 2017. Here we go. Well, some of those are glitching too. The 2017 campaign encompassed multiple programs with the goal of a unified message and economies of scale through one umbrella campaign. It was the second year using an umbrella approach after a successful debut in 2016. While boating safety anchors the campaign using federal sport fish restoration and boating trust funds, environmental awareness campaigns including clean and green boating and clean vessel pumpouts are funded by Harbors and Watercraft monies and Clean Vessel Act funds, respectively. The environmental messages include our brand theme and tagline, Save the Waters You Love. Boating clean and green awareness and online quiz participation numbers have quadrupled over the project baseline results, as Acting Deputy Director Ramona Fernandez mentioned in her report. In 2017, California boater card messaging began with marina posters, print and digital media, and social media. Boater card baseline awareness and growth is being tracked. Life Jacket Outreach included events and loaner stations and will be shown in the next section of this presentation. As stated earlier, California boating accident statistics guided the use of education funding. For the Boating Safety Awareness Life Jacket campaign, the high accident areas are combined into state media markets. We call this our Boating Accident Target Area, or BETAs. You can see the top six BETAs on this slide. The campaign's $1.8 million boating safety media buy is weighted the same for each of the betas, but as shown, the cost of media varies in these markets depending on population, reach, and just general expensive overheads. Angler, digital, and social media can expand DBW safety messages beyond these six betas. For example, we can reach Lake Shasta boaters through social media, even though they may not be in the highest accident region. DBW can also dial back and or get very specific with digital and social media messages to a small, accurate geo-target audience. Another example, last year during the late winter rains, the high and fast water messages in 2017 were limited to the waterways experiencing the snowmelt and were sent out within days. We were able to reach those people and move quickly using online and social media. Here's something I hope you all have on your phones. You see here the DBW Boat CA app that was launched in 2017, beginning with National Safe Boating Week. The app can help boaters find the boating services closest to them from their location on the water or at home. The free app is built for iOS and Android phones and features geolocation map, an email float plan ready to send, an accident report link, and educational information on boating laws, the boater card, life jackets, DBW event calendar, pumpouts, and even DMV boat registration. The emergency button can get boaters in touch with 911 or give instructions for using Channel 16. Over 4,000 boaters have downloaded the app in the first 6 months, and as of July, last month, we have more than 8,000 individuals that have downloaded the app and are using it. The campaign is designed to be accountable and measurable through a post-campaign survey of over 700 boaters. In 2017, survey results showed that over 70% of registered boaters recalled campaign messaging and said that it had increased their life jacket wear. Paddlecraft owners were also surveyed with similar results. You see on this slide a new unique campaign addition, a Save the Ones You Love dock and launch ramp stencil. And that's using a water-soluble and environmentally friendly paint. It became quite popular, and we had to order more to meet up with Marina and Aquatic Center demand. An unexpected campaign achievement, in August 2017, the Boat CA campaign garnered over 100,000 Facebook followers. We currently have, I just checked just now, over 133,000 followers. It's the fastest way we can get out our messaging to the most boaters. The International Boating and Water Safety Summit Media Campaign Contest is sponsored by NASBLA, the National Water Safety Congress, and the National Safe Boating Council. It showcases safety and outreach efforts of organizations, agencies, and states. The judged contest recognizes the creative ways boating and water safety advocates are communicating with the public about safety on and in the water. DBW has consistently been the nationwide leader for excellent boating safety outreach and advertising for over two decades. In 2017, the campaign received top awards for audio PSAs, the mobile app, the new Save the Ones You Love stencil kit shown on the previous slide. On behalf of our colleague Melissa Miranda, here is her report on life jacket outreach and loaner programs. But did you have any questions for the media campaign?
Commissioner Pettibone.
You mentioned that you're trialing online for taking the boat for the boater's card. When do you think that might be?
For the boater course?
Course, yeah.
Yes, we're nearly there. We're in user testing right now, so within months, by the end of the year.
By the end. Okay, great, thanks.
Don't hold me to it. Okay. The annual outreach budget is approximately $550,000. The 2017 interactive trailer, sponsored and provided by iHeartRadio, is shown here. Trailer engagement included life jacket education and distribution, teaching about different types of life jackets for different boating activities, hydration station water for thirsty show attenders, boating safety videos on indoor and outdoor screens, and publication distribution. DBW's life jacket education outreach is focused on areas that will provide high volumes of boaters and or people identified to meet our target demographic. Annually, staff or the iHeart Media subcontractors attend about 30 events. Examples of these events include boat shows, the state fair, safety fairs, marina events, and on-water tournaments. The water safety touring puppet show named AquaSmart Live has reached thousands of California K through 6 graders. DBW distributed over 8,000 life jackets statewide in 2017. These included PFDs to over 80 loan stations. DBW assists with starting new loan stations and replenishing existing life jacket stations. About 40 life jacket trade-in events statewide received life jackets from DBW. These events are mostly during National Safe Boating Week and are sponsored by partner organizations such as Aquatic Centers, the Coast Guard and Auxiliary, as well as state parks and other water managers. At trade-in events, boaters have the opportunity to bring in their old, unserviceable, and or outgrown life jackets in exchange for a new U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket. Life jackets are also used as an educational tool to promote safe boating and as an opportunity to teach proper use at safety events and at boat shows. As mentioned earlier, DBW sponsors boating and water safety to K through 12 students statewide. In 2017, DBW or our contractors visited hundreds of schools statewide with safe boating messages in these three programs. The AquaSmart Live Puppet Show, pictured here in the, that's in the center, is Riva, the division's new boating safety mascot, she's a river otter, who is the face of the redesigned AquaSmart curriculum series that you all were talking about earlier on your desk. The puppet shows have gone to over 180 school assemblies. We also reach children and adults through the AAA baseball teams. DBW partners with the Sacramento River Cats, the Modesto Nuts, and the Lake Elsinore Storm for life jacket safety education. Baseball has comparable demographics and seasons as boating. Baseball has these AAA teams, it allows us to reach people at a lower cost than perhaps the pro teams. Each team we partner with provides an opportunity to have in-game audio, visual, and print messaging. Each team includes a boating safety day or night where DBW staff participate with a display within the parks. The Sacramento Rivercats incorporated life jacket safety messaging at 135 AAA school day assemblies in 2017. AquaSmart Activity Book. This new and award-winning full-color activity book we have here today brings together California-specific water safety lessons as well as weather, buoyancy, and pollution for grades K through 8 and meets state curriculum standards. It is an update of a previous activity book. We've had it for many years, but we periodically change it as educational requirements change. This meets the California core components. So teachers can ask for this, they can reproduce it, they can get samples, they can get copies for all of their students, and they can use this to teach to science curriculum and safety education and physical education. They can use this, and even in math, there are some math activities, as I'm sure you've seen there. The book was and was available in the old version in Spanish, and we're working on that to get that translated for Spanish users. As with the multimedia campaign, the Boating Safety Education and Outreach programs also received top awards, our new activity book that we've just been talking about. The Rivercats AAA School Days Partnership and a new AquaSmart personal watercraft safety video that was pictured on a previous slide. I want to thank you for providing the time for this report, and let me know if you have any questions.
Any questions?
No questions other than to just thank you for all your work. I just absolutely, as somebody who has a background in marketing and PR, love what you're doing. I have some additional ideas in terms of how we can incorporate each of the commissioners here with some of the work that you're doing, but that will be coming at the later meeting, at the next meeting.
Absolutely.
So I'm pretty excited. I'm
happy
thank
to
you.
Hear that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Thank you very much for that report. Our last item on the agenda is suggested agenda items. If there aren't any, I would suggest that...
When is the next meeting? So,
well, our next meeting is the joint meeting, which is in September.
But that, and does that permit us to notice the public for any business?
No, there is no intention.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
At that meeting.
Well, the only thing was we have 30 days. I don't think that's fixed and immutable, but we have 30 days, we're told, today for our comments with respect to the commission's triennial report to the legislature. So we obviously won't be meeting, but I suggest it be on the agenda anyway as the disposition of this report to the legislature. Thank you.
So noted. Anything else?
Yes, Commissioner Metz.
The draft report on the infrastructure needs, that would be on the agenda, would it not?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner?
Just a question. So do we have a date for the next regular meeting of this body with...
I believe it's October. Is that? I don't have my calendar in front of me.
November 14th and 15th.
November 14th and 15th.
Thank you. Do we have a location yet?
Where?
Alameda, California.
Alameda, okay.
Alameda.
That's centrally located. And should be convenient to Commissioner Cooley.
Yes.
With that, seeing no other business, I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you very much.